But I'll jump up on the platform here in a second. But the story goes like this. A father and his son were walking along the ship docks, along the shipyard. And the boy was just, he was an old, you know, he's just in his early teens. And he was just trying to find, you know, if you've ever had a teenager, we've all been a teenager at one time, you know, just trying to figure out what to do and you know, all that. And the dad turns to the little, to, well, I say little boy, but the young man and says, listen, with God, all things are possible. And the boy goes, Daddy, I want to believe that. But I mean, I got some, you know, I just, and a teenager, you know, he's got a lot of things in his mind that are mountainous or maybe their family or whatever. I don't know all the situation. But the dad said, like, and he felt the Lord say, see that big? And he points at a ship liner. He said, yeah. And he said, I can move that ship. The little boy says, Dad? He says, I can. Do you believe I could? The little boy is like, oh. So the dad goes over. I think this was based off a true story, and I could be wrong, but it sounds good, so just follow it, okay? I do think it is possible. So I believe it came off of something that did happen. So the father puts his hands up against the front of the huge ship liner and begins to push. Doesn't move. And the little boy or the young man says, that's not moving. And the dad just says, just wait, and continues to push. And he's pushing with all his might. Now people are walking by, and they're watching this man straining and pushing against this huge boat. And they're beginning now a half circle forms. Some people are mocking. Some people are laughing. And they're just like, what is he trying to do? Sweat begins to bead up on the man's brow, and his face is red. His arms begin to shake. And the boy is like, Dad, people are watching. The father just says, wait. And he keeps pushing. People begin to laugh harder. More people show up. The father doesn't stop. He continues. And just before it seemed like it's never going to happen, they hear the crack of the boat breaking away from the dock, and it starts to move out. And people are gasping in the crowd in awe. And the dad looks at him and says, never doubt God. Now, I'm telling you that story because I feel the Lord wants me to share. Some of you have been pushing. And you're pushing. There's pressure. You can't always see what's happening when you're pushing. But it's happening. You have to believe what God is telling you. Keep pushing. Keep the position. Keep the pressure. The devil wants you to stop. He wants you to quit. That's what he wants. And he is a liar. How many knows that? He's the father of lies. Keep pushing. Keep the Lord doing what, I mean, the Lord's going to do what he does, but you have to get in on it. If he's told you to push, push. And you just stand there until he tells you something else. You just keep doing what he's told you to do. Be faithful in that. Pretty soon that ship's going to start moving. You believe that? Say amen. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him, good to see you in church. We train all our ushers to be muscle men. Scott, thank you so much. I love Scott. He's so much fun to pick on. But he's amazing. He's wonderful. He's also the leader of our men's group. And so that breakfast is coming up soon, isn't it? Yeah, so that's awesome. So don't miss that. We've been talking about the listening ear. If you're a guest today, your family can receive a free copy of Pastor Gary's book, Kingdom Thoughts, and get a T-shirt as well. And we want to bless you. Those don't have any cost to them. We just want you to know we love you. We believe you were created on purpose. Also coming this Wednesday is our first Wednesday service. And I'm believing for incredible healings this Wednesday. Enough to say that I believe if you come, you'll get healed. I'm going to believe that because healing always comes. I'm going to step out on a limb and just trust it to happen. I don't care if it happens here or when you get home. I'm thinking it's going to happen. A lot of it's going to happen right here. And we see that all the time. And it's just getting stronger and thicker and in a good way. So keep pushing. Amen? Well, we've been talking about just listening to God. We've been talking about hearing him. So let's hear him enough to say hi to the people online. God bless you guys that are watching us online. Thank you so much for joining in. Pastor Kim and I, we are in moving mode. We have got the keys to the new house, and we've already moved a good portion of her kitchen, and the barn is moved thanks to the Schmitz helping us last night, and I got a whole crew helping me on Tuesday. So I am excited to get 7 miles from the church. Isn't that great? Seven is a great number. Don't you think that's a number of perfection and completion? That's great. We're excited just to get closer instead of a 60-mile round trip. I got a 14-mile round trip. Yay! Think of the money that will be saved in gas. Not that you're thinking of that, but anyway, so we have a busy week, but it's all good. We're just glad to be walking with the Lord and doing what he wants us to do. We've been talking about just hearing God, because that's what we really all want. We want to hear God, know that we heard God, and act on it. If God said to push, let's push. If he says to stand and be still, let's stand and be still. If he says to do this, let's do that. If he says to give this, we do that. What does he say? And we want to be able to hear that. We found out that the average believer probably doesn't consistently hear God as well as we should. I think I could hear him better. I think anybody could hear him better. So I'm not exempt from this, and I'm not saying I hear him perfectly. I have missed God in my life. See how quiet that is. What? Yes, I have. Have you ever missed him? You thought he said something, and you're like, boy, I sure blew that. Yep, I have a T-shirt for that one. But I think all of us could hear him a little bit better. We could fine-tune and spend more time with him and to the level that we're believing. How many knows that, you know, sometimes we just don't believe we can, so we just don't? Have you ever been somewhere where somebody is basically negative a lot? Their perspective is just, I've been somewhere before, and I mean, 5 seconds of a basketball game has happened, and the other team scored, and the person beside me said, we might as well go home, we lost. It's 2-0, and it's only been 5 seconds have lapsed. But their mindset was just in that realm, and so we have to switch some of that. We have to change and start changing our perspective. There are people that don't even think God wants to talk to them. They think they've been too bad or whatever. And that is totally not true. That is the enemy just trying to keep you away. They think that God only talks to super saints like Billy Graham or somebody like that. But he wants a personal relationship with each of us. We each have to choose Jesus. You can't get to heaven because your father chose Jesus. It doesn't work that way. You have to individually say yes to Jesus. We talked about how important that God really wants to talk to you. One of the keys that we looked at last week or the last few weeks, this is week 4, was to seek him, and not just kind of seek him, but with your whole heart. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then will you call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and him who knocks, it will be open. It's neat to me that ask, seek, and knock, A-S-K, spell ask. I don't know. Just a little side tidbit. I was just like, cool. But he's basically saying, if you're asking, he's hearing, he's listening. If you're knocking and you're determined, if you have heard him, you can push, it will be opened. We've discovered that one of the reasons we don't hear God's voice is because we can live without it. They don't depend on it. We just, if I hear it one day and I don't hear it the next, okay. It's not important. We are so used to survival mode. Some people, you know, this is what they'll say. This is God talking to me. They went to Hong Kong buffet and they got a fortune cookie and, really? You know, there's fortune cookies. Have you ever got one that said, do not take unnecessary gambles? And right underneath, 77456 was the lottery number. You know, well, Don't base your life on a fortune cookie. I almost wish that if God would let me, I would love to make my own and put it on people's plates and just sit back and watch them open it have things like, you should not wear what you have on. You could take that a whole nother dimension. But we're not. I'm just saying. We're so used to survival mode. We're not used to, what would it be like if God told us what to do? We listened and it worked. And we could live in peace. Because half the time we don't seek with our whole heart because we're so used to getting something from somewhere else. We always have a plan B. If this doesn't happen, we can do this. Now, understand me, it's okay to have, hey, I want this if this doesn't, but if you're believing God for this and you said if he doesn't come through, I have this, you might as well just go with this because that's what you have faith in. Your plan B is always your plan A. So there are times that God, for Kim and I, has got us out there. We have no plan B. My father's here, and he's even asked me at different times, well, what happens if this doesn't work? I don't know. Ask God, because I don't have another plan. This is it. And you just walk out on that branch and say, okay, God, I want to hear everything you tell me because it's crucial. I want to seek him with my whole heart. If we're not in pursuit of the things of God, what are we in pursuit of? He's always speaking, but hearing doesn't just happen automatically. And y'all know this, there are men and women in the room. Your wife can tell you something if you're married and you can be watching the football game and you can answer her and don't remember a thing she says. You don't even know what she asked you. Can I get an amen from the women in the house? But to defend the men, if the Browns were winning, they had our attention. Oh, hoorah! Okay? But this is one time. Now, see, sometimes don't you feel like, why don't you feel like your husband has selective hearing? Yeah, now, there's... You can see husbands and wives sitting together. You better not answer him. Don't you raise your hand. That kind of stuff. But this is one time. Now listen to what I'm saying. I want you to understand. Selective hearing is good when it comes to God. It's good to have selective hearing. What does God say about this? Not what somebody else says. I mean, it's good if it lines up with what God says. You hear me and PK talk all the time. If you're a guest, PK stands for Pastor Kim. Talk all the time. This got to line up with the Word of God. If it lines up with the Word of God, then that's what you agree with. You're going to vote here pretty soon. In just over a month, you're going to vote. Whatever you vote, whoever you vote, find the candidate that lines up with the Word of God the most. That's how you vote. That's my opinion. You don't have to take that. But I'm telling you, this country needs people that at least have some kind of lining up with the Bible. But select, God, what do you want me to do? What's this situation? As long as you think you can do without the voice of God, you will. If you don't think you need it, you won't listen and you won't hear it. Sometimes we see the same mountain because we've done the same thing. And he's tried to tell you, but we didn't hear it. We have selected, can go two ways, hear it or not. I choose not to. Don't do that. Choose to listen. I don't know about you, but for Kim and I, we're in a place where there's got to be more. There has to be more. Maybe something I missed, or maybe there's more he wants me to do, and I want to learn to follow that. Have you ever had time in the past where you're like, okay, it's not like everything's been so terrible, but you kind of like, I don't want to keep going the same route. I don't want to keep looking at these same bills. I don't want to have this same pain in my body. I don't want to feel the same guilt. Then what are we doing? Because according to the Word, are we lining up with what the Word says? Or are we just, this is just part of what the culture says today. People have asked me, oh, we're giving away this book. You know why I'm giving away this book? Because it'll help change your mindset. But you know it'll change your mindset the best? This book. Which that book is based off this book, but this book, the Bible. we have to change our culture. We have to quit thinking the way that we were brought up thinking. Because this isn't always right. I've told you the story of the the great-grandmother that always cooked the ham at the holidays. And so she gave the recipe, she passed it down and to the mother, and the mother passed it down to her daughter, and her daughter passed it down to her daughter, and as the daughter was looking at it, she's looking at, okay, we got the ham, I'm going to make great-grandma's ham, it's going to be awesome. And it was, and they're like, wow, I thought the ham was bigger. Well, you always cut this part off. Great-grandma always cut this part off. We never used that part. So then for years, they never used it. Just got rid of it. And the one started asking questions, and they figured it out, and finally they got to the child of the great-grandmother that they said, you know why she cut it off? She didn't have a pan big enough. So for years, they cut it off thinking, you can't eat that part of the ham. It's not good. I don't know. But it was never true. It was just because great-grandma didn't have a pan that fit the ham. Sometimes we get our mindset, it's just this way. What if it's not? What if God says, that's not the way it is? Why don't you ask me and I'll tell you how it is, says God. And we can look in his word and find out exactly what to put our hand to. Deuteronomy 30:8-9 says, you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, the fruit of your body, the increase of your livestock, and the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. This is where we get that he'll bless the work of our hands. If we're listening and we're doing what he's saying, if we're pushing or we're standing or whatever he's telling us to do, it'll be blessed because we have heard him and we will stay on point. Come on, the enemy will try like Sanballat or however you want to say it, tried to get Nehemiah off the ladder. Come on down. No, I've got a job to do. The Lord, I have a job to do. And you stay on post. Well, Brett, it's hard. Not to make you upset, but no duh. Sometimes it is hard, isn't it? Sometimes it feels like you're the only one that's believing for what God is telling you to do. Everybody else seems like, well, I didn't have to do that. Okay, you're not me, but right now this is what I got to do. So you do what God tells you. We also talked about not only do we seek him with our whole heart, we need knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to all of us things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. We need knowledge. Let me see if I can break this down. Pastor Kim, I know her. We've been married 39 years. Look at that. I can go home today. 39 years. I got it. 39 years. But because of all of that time, I know her. So getting her camo pajamas for Christmas is not really going to be like, oh, that's just what I wanted. She needs a crossbow. No, she does not. So the knowledge of her, I would know what she likes and what she, this would be good. She would love this or she would love. And so I know how to do some of those things that would bless her. And that brings peace. I'm able to do those things. I want you to know that God wants you to know who he is, how he is, and how much he loves you. And you can. He's not hiding it from you. He's made it for everybody to read it. He wants you to have grace and peace. Do you like grace and peace? I like them. Man, I love having grace, and I love having peace for knowledge. But if we choose to go, you know, I don't want to know anything about God, why would we do that? Because then we can't have that grace and peace. 2 Peter 1:4, the verse after though, says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that though these that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It says that we've been given great and precious promises. There's so many promises in the Bible we don't even know exist or take advantage of. Or just have, because we don't know about it. When I get to heaven, or when you get to heaven, do you want to find out, like, you mean I could have been living this way and I didn't even know? That's what's happening to a lot of us. We're being swept by the culture of the world. Have you ever been into the ocean? We went to the ocean to visit Mom and Dad. They used to travel around. They had a motor coach, and they would travel all these different places. They were staying at Myrtle Beach, and PK loves the beach, and so we went, and so we were staying there, and we went out to swim in the ocean. And, you know, my first thing that's going through my mind is, boom, boom. I'm like, no. So I'm going to go swim anyway. I'm going to fight off fear. Don't ever watch that movie. So I'm going to go out and swim anyway. And so Kim and the kids were really little. We put them down on the beach. And let's just say where PK is right now. We put out the towel and we had the sand umbrella. You know, you stick it in there. We looked like we were the all-American family sitting there. I'm going to go out and I'm going to swim in the ocean. She goes, you go, honey, you go. And I go out, and so I leave her there. And I'm out there. I can see her. She's waving at me, and the kids are waving. And I'm swimming out in the ocean. I've never swam in the ocean before. It was my first time. And I look up, and I'm like, where did Kim and the kids go? I'm clear over here, and Kim is clear over there. I swim over here. The current was taking me over here. I'm not even over exaggerating. I'm like a kid that's in this body that she has to monitor all the time. I mean, we'll be going somewhere, and I'll feel the squeeze on my hand. Don't say it. Because I'll hear somebody say something, I'd be like, please let me. She'd be like, no, don't say it. But anyway, I ended up way out far. And then I started thinking, I got to swim back. And I started, now I was on the swim team, not a pretty picture, when I was in high school. This is before I'd lost weight and started building muscle and all that. So they'd already freed Willie once. You don't want to see that picture. So anyway, but you know. It's like, that's a word picture. You already are going, thank you. Thank you so much. So I started swimming, literally. And this is true. I was swimming, and I started swimming, and I'm realizing I'm not going anywhere. I'm not making any headway, and I was starting to get tired. And she was still way over there, and I felt like I was going further out. And I remember panic hitting my heart and my head, like, oh, my gosh. And then I'm thinking, I'm way out in deep water. Boom, 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 boom. That started coming back. Isn't the enemy good about that? So I had to say, no, that's not happening in Jesus' name. And I started everything I had. And I'm not saying partial. I'm talking everything in my physical body was swimming that direction. And it took me a long time to get back. By the time I got back, I was almost exhausted. And I did make it back, and I went back up on the beach, and I thought, I am never going out and doing that again. And I never have. Not that I went out in the ocean again, but I didn't go, I wasn't being Tarzan. Oh, I wasn't doing that. Here's my thing. If we know that God has promises and we don't take care of them, we don't jump in on them, we don't acknowledge them, and you just let the world tell you, you're doing just what happened to me. You can say you're not, but if you don't know what the Word of God says, you're being pulled back. You really are. And you won't know it, because I didn't even know it until I looked up and thought, how'd I get here? Because that's what the devil does. You don't almost know how you got there. You got to get back. But you're going to have to push. You're going to have to listen. You're going to have to decide to have selective hearing. God, what do I got to do? See, what I'm trying to tell you is the Word of God, it contains knowledge. And you need to know what the Word says. so you can hear his voice. We talked last week about being still. That was the other thing we talked about, to quiet down. This culture isn't really, we don't do that a lot here in this today. We're always busy. Everything's busy, busy, busy. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. So we have to learn how to turn down the noises of the world and turn up the Word. The volume that the Word brings in our life. 46:10 of Psalm says, "Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." See, when you're still, you start noticing things you never saw. If you're still. And you just sit and you look. Now, I'm a grandparent now, and we have 5 grandkids. And just sitting back now and watching my grandkids, just see them doing certain things, it brings joy. Because I'm noticing things. I'm noticing things that they do or things that they say or whatever. That's awesome. Some things have been there all along. We were just too busy to notice it until it's gone. Has that ever happened? If you don't notice something and it just is part of, and then it changes, you start noticing like, what's different? She'll pick up on things sometimes a lot more or quicker than I will. But when it comes to things that I'm more in tune to, like if I'm out in the woods or whatever, I'll notice something and be like, wait a minute. The world and the enemy are experts at getting us to focus on other things, to get us preoccupied with unimportant things, things that will cause you to, you shouldn't, but it'll cause you to worry or want you to worry or it'll try to push you to worry, so to speak. You have to not let the noises of the world get in between those two ears. You don't want them to drown out the voice of God. And we have the power to choose, you and I, to make that not happen by putting our hand, we talked about at least these 5 things. I'm just going to say them quickly. Seeking, we talked about that. Gaining knowledge, we talked about that. Being still, we're just now finishing that. Listen and watch. What's he saying? How about this? Let me help you here. Have you ever sat and you thought, I'm just going to sit down and rejoice? Been out? Anybody like to be outside? I like to be outside. Kim loves to be outside. But what I don't like, I do not like to be baked by the sun. I'm good with not being baked. But one thing I hate, did I tell you I hate it? Hate. Don't know why he made them, but because he made them, okay, God, unless they're just food for bats. Mosquitoes. Dear Jesus. I'm not real fond of flies either. Not crazy about bats or snakes or rats. Now you know. I'm not really jumping up and down over spiders neither, but anyway, mosquitoes. I went out this morning because we're leaving our current house in like 2 days. And I thought, I'm going to sit out on the deck. The deck is beautiful. It overlooks the woods. And I'm going to sit out here. I sat down, cup of coffee. It's got my favorite creamer in it. And so I'm like, whoa, this is the last Sunday in this house. So this is what's going through my mind. I'm telling the Lord, thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity to enjoy this place. I sat down. Guess what I hear? Takes me about a whole 30 seconds, and I'm like, thank you, out. I hate mosquitoes. But that's what happens. We try to sit and be still, and the enemy, the mosquito, blood-sucking little things, hate those. But God will speak in a still, small voice, doesn't he? 1 Kings 19, Elijah and God, and he speaks to him in this still, small voice. And a lot of us, we're just looking for God in these big ways. I just need God to just show up in this big way. You know, spectacular, miracle, boom, there he is. We miss anything that comes at us less. Now, Elijah, he's running scared, he's afraid, he's depressed, he felt alone. This is where he's at. 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12, he said, go out. stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. Great and strong wind tore into the mountain, broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. The Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. The Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Those are three big things. I mean, earth, wind, and fire. Almost sounds like a group. But three big things. But he wasn't in any of those things. 9:13 of Kings, it says, it was Elijah heard it. He wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He's wanting to hear God's voice. So he's got the want to part. But God didn't come in this big demonstrative way. He spoke in the still small voice. Now, I'm not saying he won't give you an audible voice. I've heard God audibly. I've seen angels. But that isn't how he normally speaks to me. He speaks to me like he'd speak to you, through his word and in my heart, in my spirit. And that still small voice. Just let me just say, like yesterday, I think it was yesterday, and she can tell me if it really doesn't matter if it was yesterday or the day before, but we're cleaning out the house. When you move, you find all kinds of stuff. You're like, what's that? How long have we had that? What's that go to? So we had this remote that was like this. She's like, what's, I'm like, I have no idea. Was this here when we moved here? And she's like, I don't know. And I said, this is going to sound silly, but it's simple. I said, Lord, what's this to? And immediately, I want you to hear what I'm saying. Immediately, he gave me a picture of a heater that Charlotte gave to us that's in the office. And I'm like, shut the front door. Are you kidding me? That whole remote with no battery has been in that drawer for 3 stinking years. And I didn't know what it was to. But I never asked. So as soon as I asked, he told me. So I told Kim, I know what this is to. She goes, what? I said, it's that heater your mom gave us. She goes, what? I said, yeah, it needs batteries. Wait a minute. I went and got batteries, put it in there, and on the heater it says, Lasco. And on the remote says, Lasco. I'm like. So I put the batteries in and I turned it and the thing said, well, it didn't say it, but the screen said, hi. It could have been telling me hi for 3 years when I turned on the heat, but no. I didn't know anything about it and it worked. It turned the heater on. I'm like, oh my gosh. My point, you have not because you ask not. Some of us, we just don't think he'll talk to us, so our belief system is skewed. But if we believe he wants that relationship so specific and so intimate and kind and the little details, he'll tell you the little details. Brett, that goes to the heater. Hey, angels, come over here and look at him. Look at him. You know, when God has spoken to me and I've heard him audibly, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to go. If he shows you something that's like, you know, okay, that's God. But you know what he wants? He'll do that and he loves that. But what he wants is, will you believe him if he just says, hey, Brett, I love you. Hey, that goes to the heater over there. He didn't send an angel and go, hey, come here, Spanky. You see this? He just lovingly said, that's what that goes to. And because I never asked him, I never knew. I can enjoy it in the new house. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God wants to talk to you. He wants to have that relationship with you. And that still small voice, that's how he's going to talk to you the majority of the time. Sometimes he'll show you things. Things that you don't even understand, like, why do I keep seeing this? Sometimes, like PK was saying, like, she keeps seeing these three numbers all, and it's just like over and over and over again. That isn't so you can go play the lotto. But he's trying to tell you something. Ask him. You might be amazed at what he tells you. You might be like, oh, my word, that's awesome. But you can't hear it if you're focused on the world and not the word. You have to be listening. Select God. Tell me what you want. You know, sometimes I don't even hear him. Like, sometimes when I'm still and quiet, I'd like to think I always hear him then. But sometimes I'm trying too hard. Does that make sense? because I'm trying to listen, and I'm just like, you know, and it's just like, then I walk away, and the enemy starts going, pew, pew, you can't hear anything. You couldn't hear. You're not the smartest, you know, blah, blah, blah. But if I just diffuse those, listen, I have a heart that wants to hear God. I have a listening ear that will hear God. And I've told my wife before, I said, if God wants to tell me something, he'll get in touch with me. I will hear him. And she's like, I know you will. And she'll tell me, I know you hear God. And I'll tell her the same thing. And I could be doing something that is totally, I'm not thinking about anything. And he'll, some thought will come in out of like nowhere that lines up with the word, and it'll be my answer. Because I was just not even trying. I'd ask him, and he just, there you go. And I was just like, oh, my word. We need not just quality time, because people say that, oh, I spend quality time with God. You might be surprised. It might help you if you get some quantity time in there. So a little bit of both. Now, there are going to be things in your day, and he understands that, where there's times that you hit the ground running. Okay, that might not be the day that you're going to spend as much time as you would if you didn't hit the ground running. But he knows that. But just make him priority. Half of us, and I'm going to say a lot of us, even maybe all of us at the time, we can't shake things off so easy. We want to. It's just tougher. We can't snap our fingers and just move ahead. Sometimes guys can do it quicker than girls, because guys are not, like, girls are deep. They're like crock pots. They think about everything. We're like microwaves. Sometimes our thoughts, somebody needs to pull the plug. Matthew 13:15. For the hearts of his people have grown dull. Ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. The King James version of this says, it actually says waxed gross. But back in the day, they'd make candles. I don't know if you girls make candles or guys or whatever, but they dip them. They dip them again. They let it dry. They dip them again. They dip them again. And it just continues to get more wax on the wick and all that over and over again. So let me tell you what this premise is talking about. It's just like over time, if you don't fix this, you're going to struggle. It's going to be harder to hear. Because you've continually said, God, nope, 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 nope. You have to be sensitive. I don't want to be dull of hearing. I want to be able to hear him. Now, there's moms in this building. There's even dads in this building. And when I was a little kid, I don't want you to get all freaked out because I'm going to use this word. I was a daredevil. He used the word devil. I don't mean I was a devil. I just meant I was not afraid of heights, and I was not afraid to try stupid stuff, which doesn't mean that's smart, because it's not. But I decided to do something stupid because my friend did it, and he said, you do it. So I hung upside down on a swing set with my legs, and I'd swing out like this, and all he did is swing out far enough, he'd bring his legs down, and he stood up, and he's like, you do that. I'm like, sweet. I'm more athletic than you. I will do that. I did that, but somehow I didn't adjust right when I came off, and I hit part of the swing set on the way down, cut my head open. I remember looking at Mike, that was my friend, and him looking at me like he had just seen Barbara Streisand fall down the steps or something. I mean, I don't know. And I was like, what's the matter? And he's like, points at my head, and I went like this. My hand was full of blood, and then I just screamed. And I ran across the street, and to this day, I'm 63. I don't know how old I was then, probably 8. I remember my dad coming out of the front porch on Forest Street like he was Kung Fu Bruce Lee. I mean, he came out of the porch and Mom was right behind him. He came out of the porch and was like, I still can see him doing that because of my scream. How many know when your kid is really hurt or when your kid is just putting on? There was no doubt I was really hurt. My mom came over. Oh, my baby, what happened? What happened? I mean, you know, I wanted to come up with some line. Well, there's four bad guys and I stopped them. You know, I didn't know what I was. But they took me to the ER and, you know, they had to sew my head up and all that stuff. My point, there's something in the seeking. There's something when you are tied into God and you are saying, I need you. He knows if you really need him, if you're really seeking, if you're really with your, if you're listening. Some of us were good at putting on. And we wonder why we don't have answers. And God is saying, put down that stuff and listen. I don't want to have dull hearing. The enemy is subtle and he'll let the cares of life overtake you, won't he? You'll just be like I talked in that first story, just going downstream. You'll think you're, I mean, my family's fairly close, but I'm being swept. We get desensitized in the world, don't we? So many things are happening. I would like to be able to watch, back in the day, you can even be watching a good TV station, but the commercials are horrific. Especially this time of year. You can have your little 4, 5, 6-year-old sitting there and all of a sudden some creepy whatever comes on. How do you protect them from that? I mean, you know, it's just, we live in a world that does not care about that. They're after just the almighty dollar and a lot of other things. But don't get desensitized. Mark 4 tells us of examples of seed that were sown in four different types of soil. The seed has the same potential in every example. It's the soil that was the variable. So the soil is our heart. It's a picture of our heart. The seed is the word of God. Different hearts produce different results. The third example in Mark 4, 18 and 19. These are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires of other things entering, and they choke out the word and become unfruitful. We have to have some time where we hear God. The enemy wants to take away any downtime you have with God, so that you can't hear his voice or his leading. If you don't know where to go, he's got a better shot at it, the enemy. The more you do with God, the more you spend time with him, it is the easier it gets to declutter your life. Cobwebs in your thinking. You got to start somewhere, don't you? Anybody ever go on a diet besides me? First time you get on the scale, the scale says one at a time, please. But you got to start somewhere. If you can't measure it, you won't know. You won't know how much success, because you won't know. You have to measure it. So if you start out and you just say, remember I said last week I'd rather have somebody that spent 5 minutes with God every day for 7 days than somebody that spent no time with God and tried to spend 35 minutes in one day. At least measure it. And start asking God, what can I do? How can I do this? Sometimes it'll take you a little longer when you first start, but you just stay at it. You keep, remember the story, you keep pushing. Might not look like anything's happening, but it's happening. Keep pushing. The enemy would love for you to quit. God is looking for fully persuaded people. Come on, somebody. He's looking for people that'll say, that's my kid. I love my children. I do everything and anything for them. I went to every practice they ever had. I helped coach their teams. I was in the stands for every game they were ever at. Anything they ever did, win or lose, I was there. I was the dad. And I was the dad you're probably like, oh, help us, God. You know, Mal, she's not back in here now. She's like her mama. She's just tiny. She's just petite. She's like 4'11" if she's wearing heels. Weighs about 50 pounds if she's got her pockets full of change. I mean, you know, she's just tiny. She was the one leading worship, if you don't know. She's fast, though. That little girl, she was fast. And so she went out for track. And I was like, yes, girl, you go. And so they put them up in the track, and they get them, you know, and they have to get in those starting blocks, and they're starting to walk back there. And there's these girls, man, they got these legs that look like they was frog legs. And they was, you know, and they're walking, and they're looking at Mal, and they're like, they're laughing at her because she's just this little short thing. And she's just, you know, and I'm like, Mal, look at me, look at me. Quit looking at them, look at me, look at me. And so she's looking at me, and I said, "Now, when that gun goes off, you got it, got it." So I'm on the other side. I am oblivious to all the people in the stands behind me. I've completely forgot about them. I am lasered on Mallory. She gets down. She gets in that position. She gets those feet in that block. She puts her hands out. That guy's like there. I'm like, oh, man. Oh, man. 100-yard dash. She smoked them all. Man, she was like, boom. Bing, bing, bing. Me, me. She was all the way down. And those girls, I was like, I did this all the way down the track. I don't remember what, well, I know what came over me, but I'm going, Holy Ghost! I am waving my arms, running down the outside of the fence. I don't know if anybody got that on film, but they're probably like, crazy. I would have made AFV. I could have won $10,000 in AFV. She smoked him. And I wanted to go up to those big girls with the frog legs and go, ha! But I didn't. Listen to what God is telling you. He is on the other side of that fence, just like I'm her dad, going, go! He doesn't care. He created all that stuff. Most today, people are looking for the path of least resistance, aren't we? I'm all for working smarter and not harder, and I think technology is awesome. It's amazing what we can do now, like the little remote that does the heater. For 3 years, I was, okay, I got to push that button. Boy, I got my finger cramp. I don't know. You know, how hard is it just to walk over and hit on? But we are looking for those things. Remote controls, computers, microwaves. Love all those. Cell phones. I knew a guy that said, I got to have the newest cell phone because it gets to the internet 2 seconds faster than mine. I'm like, wow. But he had calculated out how much time he'd save in a day, a week, a month, a year. I'm like, dude, you have way too much. But you know, I get it. Is that OCD what they call those? Or ODS or DL or I don't know. I'll be in trouble if I start spelling too many things. But he's very task-oriented. But if he puts that time, he finds all that time, and he puts it to use, that's awesome. My question is this. Are we finding the time? If we make some shifts in our schedule because we're putting him first, we're being still, we're listening, we're having intent, we're deliberately, you know, God, I just want to hear you. I just want to spend time. If he gives you, are you using it? Do we follow through with what we say we're going to do? Justin and I traveled not long ago together, and we went, and it was in the airport, and I was amazed. I was sitting there, we're waiting on our flight. I'm watching nearly 9 out of every 10 people, and sometimes 10 out of 10, because I started counting, that had their cell phone. And they're walking in the airport, and they're all doing this. You thought I was going to walk off, didn't you? They're all doing that. Some of them are, you know, like this, or they have something in their ear. A Bluetooth. But there's some device, their cord's coming out, or they're sitting at the airport and they're plugged in. People are just plugging in everywhere. Very few people were just interacting with people or just talking or just actually sitting there not doing anything but just looking. What happened to us? I mean, there's nothing wrong with technology, but remember back in the day the front porch was a vehicle? I mean, it was like if you had a good front porch at night, you know, people from the neighborhood would come over and he might drink a cup of coffee, might just talk, might laugh, might share life, might witness. When I was a kid, we played every night. We played with all the neighborhood kids outside. We played until our moms made us come in. I can still hear my mom, Brett! I'd always had to come in when it was dark. And then if it was special, I'm like, Mom, we're going to play Ghost in the Graveyard. I can't come in when it's dark. Come on. She'd go, okay, but you can't go this far or this. You got to stay within these 4 houses. So we made rules. But if I ever disobeyed, I got my middle name put in there. Brett Allen! If she ever said Brett Allen, my party's over. But we played. We played. Now it's tough to get our kids outside to play because if they're not on the game system, they're on the phone. Don't look at your kid right now. you hear what he's saying? He's talking to you. There's nothing wrong with having fun with those. I get that. But just the interaction of just being physical and being outside and using your imagination. They came out with the game system called the Wii. Remember that? How many have a Wii? Yeah, we had a Wii. Because you know why the Wii got popular? Because you had to move. Well, if you wanted to bowl, you played tennis. Well, you probably didn't do that. But whatever, you know, baseball, whatever. Our kids got that. You know, it wasn't long. I mean, we were all down there playing and we're working up a sweat. They had some Wii thing where you could dance. That was fun for them if they watch me. But it didn't be long. I go downstairs. Samuel, he's laying on the chair. He's playing tennis going. He's figured it out. He didn't have to get up and move. Maddie and I play bowling. She just sits on the floor. I took over. I started sitting in the chair. We look like two senior citizens. Like, well, I'm not getting up. No sense in getting up. Maddie, go over there and get me some fruit snacks or something, will you? We've learned how to just bypass all the things that God wants us to do just to find a quicker, shorter route. I loved sitting on a porch. And some of the best times that we've ever had, my sister's in the room now, we go to her porch. She has a great back porch. And how long have you lived in that house? 27 years. In 27 years, I've lost count of the times I've laughed till I've been crying on that back porch. From Amy, her daughter sitting right beside her, making their one dog, when you'd sing opera, and that goofy dog would, ooh, and Amy's right beside the dog. We should have took that. We could have won $10,000 there, too. But we'd be laughing so hard. So then when Kim and I were saying, okay, God, where do you want us to live? If we ever looked at a house, we measured it. If it had a back porch, against hers. Because that became the standard. And you all know what I'm talking about. If you ever go eat Chinese and you've had House of Hunan and you're from Marion, you're like, okay, I'm going to compare every General Tso's with this one. Well, maybe not now, okay? But back in the day, that was a big thing. Or if you like a favorite thing, you compare it, or maybe you go out on Branch, try something new. But it always comes back to, I should have stayed with what I loved. So we compared every porch with my sister's. And the house that we got, it's got the most amazing porch. So, but I told Crunch, that's her nickname. I told Crunch, I said, it's a crunch-worthy porch. So she'll get to see it. So she's going to help all of the people that are helping me move. She's cooking, so you guys are all getting blessed. So, yeah, I can even tell you the menu if you want me to. Stats say the average person on their device of some kind spends 4 to 5 hours every day. Now, I'm almost finished. And that's not always bad. I mean, because that could be, you know, I get it. That's social media. But it could be TV. And I'm not saying any of that's bad. You could be doing something good. Like, my wife will have an average sometimes of many hours on her phone because she's listening to podcast after podcast that's all about the Word. She's pumping the Word in because, listen, she's listening deliberately, trying to hear God. God, show me what you want me to do. God, I'm okay with that. You can't get enough of the Word. What I'm telling you is this. If you never, though, ask Him or you never have an intent to hear Him and you are doing things just out of self or out of self-works, it's one thing to be busy about doing the work of the Lord. What if you don't know the Lord of the work? What if He has something He wants to tell you? And you're just so busy, even doing something good, you're not listening. Now, I want you to continue to do good things, and I don't think you can go wrong listening to the Word or watching, you know, on TV or as far as that goes with the Word of God. But I want you to have balance. I want you to take some time and say, okay, maybe before you go to sleep, God, anything you want to tell me today? Maybe on that commute to work, you can keep that playing if you want. We have to learn it. We have to hear it. Faith comes by hearing. So we have to listen. But then we have to do it. There's a process. Sometimes you got to process. What's he want me to do? What's he saying to you? Now, I know what he's telling me to tell you, and it's good stuff. I get it. But what about God and you? What's he telling you? Man, it's great to have grace and peace. So you got to listen. He's been speaking all along. It's all about getting into his presence. I'm going to tell you the story and I'm going to pray. I don't know the name of her cologne. I don't. And if I did, I'd probably mispronounce it. But sometimes I'll walk in someplace in the house and I know she's just been there because I smell the fragrance of her cologne. And in my heart, I'm like, now this is going to sound silly because I'm not worshiping her, but I'll be like, Kim was just here. We need that with God. We need to be able to, wherever you are, because he lives in you, that fragrance of God, just God, I just need you. You need peace? You can't find it anywhere else. You can't get it at Walmart or Meijer or Amazon. You got to find it from him because the Prince of Peace is the one that gives it. So you need that presence, and you get that by listening. If he says, Brett, I just need you to be still. I just want to talk to you for a minute. Take that minute and let him say what he needs to say. That's how I found out how to do things. That's how I found out how to get this house we got. I had to hear him. And then he'll confirm that. You have to bind fear of the world and fear of man. Just listen. You have the ability to hear him. He created you. The maker of you created you to be able to hear him. I could put my mom and every other mom behind a wall and she could holler out and I could pick her because I could hear her voice because I know that's my mom. And if I was hollering out and it was switched out of all the other kids, she could find me because she knows my voice. God wants that with you. You're his kid. He's listening. Just have that relationship. And just know, you know, like, I tried it, but he didn't say anything. Oh, he's talking, and he will make sure that you hear it. Just believe. 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 And you might be driving down the road. You might be fixing something in the kitchen. You might be working in your garage. And he'll say something to you, and you'll be like, what? And you'll just smile and you'll know, like, I just heard him. And just enjoy it. Bow your heads, close your eyes.